Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. Today's podcast is episode number 191, and I'm recording this on May 27th, 2009. Well, hello, we're currently at the beginning of our summer break. We just started summer break at the end of last week, doing some relaxing at some relatives, and just kind of beginning the summer season. Wanted to talk a little bit today about an upcoming summer event that many of you may be attending, and that is NEC 2009. NEC 2009, of course, is being held in Washington, D.C. this year between June 28th and July 1st. And I've attended quite a few recent NECC conferences, but I will not be attending this one. Just a little bit of some budget constraints and a little bit of just kind of wanting to stay home and do some things around the house and with family a little bit this summer. I'll be doing some other things, but will not be attending NEC. I've loved NEC. In fact, I've gone to New Orleans and San Diego, Atlanta, last year in San Antonio. Enjoy NEC a lot, but I'm going to be doing it virtually this year. I'll be reading many of your blog posts, listening to podcasts, and reading different things about it on Twitter, but I will not be attending this year. But I have had several people email me questions about either lodging or different things that they can do when they're in Washington. I've been really fortunate to go to Washington about five or six different times for projects and different activities in the last couple years. So I wanted to kind of just talk a little bit today about some suggestions. I in no way consider myself to be an expert on Washington, D.C. I've never lived in Washington, but just through the last several years, some of the trips and stuff, I thought I'd just share a little bit of things that I thought were either worth your time or things that might be able to save you a little bit of money while you're in Washington, D.C. So one specific question I had from a listener had to do with lodging and where they would, where I would recommend that they stay when they're going to Washington, D.C. for NEC. And as I record this, many of you have probably obviously made your arrangements already, but this also might be a tip for just visiting Washington, D.C. a little bit in the future. I've stayed at several places downtown in D.C., and I love being downtown and like really close to some of the monuments. But what my wife and I have done on several occasions when visiting Washington is we've stayed at Crystal City, Virginia, which is just across the river from D.C. And really, because D.C. is so connected with the metro, really, you're as close as you are to your closest metro stop, if that makes sense. I don't know if I really said that right. But basically, if you can stay in Crystal City and be a two-block walk from the metro, you can be anywhere in D.C. in a matter of a couple minutes anyway. So what we've done to save a little bit of money is stay in Crystal City. They have all the major chains. You know, you could stay at a Hampton Inn, you could stay at a Holiday Inn, you could stay at a Sheraton or Hilton or whatever, and then basically just walk right down to the metro station and be in the city in a couple of minutes. It's a little bit cheaper, and the other thing we've kind of liked about staying in Crystal City is there's quite a variety of places to eat as well. So at some places in D.C., depending a little bit on where you're at, like for example, I've stayed at the Holiday Inn by the Smithsonian, and there weren't a ton of places to eat right in that general area. But for example, in Crystal City, there's been quite a few things right around the hotel. So if you get back to your hotel and it's maybe 8 or 9 o'clock at night, you might have a better chance of finding something open there than you would if you were in downtown D.C. So that's what I would recommend as far as staying. If maybe you have a choice, maybe stay a little bit outside of the city and then just take the metro in. Now, as far as places to see when you're in Washington, you know, there's so many things that are free. I would really focus on the mall around all the different Smithsonians. I've been really fortunate to do quite a bit of work with the Smithsonian in the last couple months, and there's some really neat things that are right there on the mall. If you're a history teacher or a history fan, they have just opened up the History Museum, American History Museum, again. It's been closed for a couple years for renovations, and I was just there about a month ago, and they've done an amazing job renovating it. All the amazing treasures are open again. They've got a great display right now about Abraham Lincoln that I think will be there throughout at least the summer, if not longer. So there's some amazing things there. So I would definitely check out the Smithsonian's. The Native American Museum is one of my favorites on the mall as well. You've got the Natural History Museum with all the different dinosaurs, and you've got, you know, whales, and you've got all the different artifacts on insects, the Hope Diamond, elephants. They do have a great exhibit right now called Written in Bone that talks about how they can find out things from grave sites, and they've got an entire exhibit that revolves around colonial America and some of the first bones and Jamestown and things like that from early American history. So that's an amazing one. Air and Space Museum, one of the all-time favorites as far as the Smithsonian's. You've got the original Wright glider in there. You've got all the rockets and the moon stuff. So amazing place to see there as well. And then, of course, the Smithsonian's are recently featured in the new movie, Night at the Museum 2. And so if you've seen that movie, it'll be kind of neat to be there on the mall and see all those places as well. Now, as far as eating, if you're down in that area and you're looking at the different Smithsonian's, a lot of the Smithsonian's have a little place where you can eat within the museum. And then, of course, there's also the street vendors. But what I would recommend is going to the American Indian Museum, the Native American Museum, and eating at their cafe that they have on site. It's an amazing place to eat because you can get a wide variety of Native American foods. And we're talking about foods from like the north, you know, the Northwest, and you can get like salmon, you can get things from like Central America, South America, the woodlands. It's a little bit more expensive than what you'd pay if you just stopped at one of the average cafes or cafeterias there. You have an amazing selection. You get very large portions. I think I had some kind of like turkey with like a raspberry sauce with it and some different things. And it was a huge meal. And it came to about $15, I think, for myself. But like I said, you know, it's kind of a little bit different and unique. And I would definitely recommend eating there if you're on the mall looking for some place to eat. Now, if you're not on the mall, some of the places to go where you can get some quick food and kind of almost like a food court type thing, you can go down to Union Station, and on the first floor, they've got a huge variety of different food vendors. And then also, if you're up by the National Archives on the mall, I would try the old post office. They've got a variety of different food choices there as well. Now, as far as the monuments go, if you're going to go down and look at the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Monument, Jefferson and stuff, I would recommend two different times. The first one would be very early in the morning, and I just recently did a podcast about this, where I got up and walked basically the length of the mall and then down to the Washington Monument and then down to the Lincoln Memorial at about like 5:45 or so in the morning. And that was great because it was nice and cool. There was hardly anybody around, just some joggers and stuff. And I was able to get some really cool pictures at the Lincoln Memorial. So if you want to kind of go when the crowds aren't there and it's kind of a little bit peaceful, try and take a really early morning walk. Or a lot of these monuments are amazing at night as well. And if you go down to, for example, like the Lincoln Memorial, I think the Lincoln Memorial at night has a completely different feel than it does during the day. And then you can walk over to the wall for the Vietnam Memorial. And then also the Korean War Memorial is kind of almost made specifically for nighttime, I think. They have like lights that shine up on each of the soldiers that are walking in formation. And it has kind of a neat atmosphere at night as well. So if you're doing monuments, I'd recommend either really early in the morning or kind of, you know, after the sun goes down a little bit. And then also in the past, we've done some of those tours where they'll take you to each of the monuments. And if you don't mind kind of having a time schedule, that's kind of a neat way to see a lot of the monuments and just kind of have transportation provided for you. Some of the newer places in Washington that if you haven't been there for a couple years, the museum. And again, I recently did a podcast about the museum and what that was like, but I would definitely recommend the museum. You kind of get spoiled a little bit by going to all the Smithsonian museums that are free. The museum is about $15 a person for an adult, but I'd highly recommend it, something that's very worthwhile. They've got an amazing display of historic old newspapers. They've got a great four-dimensional theater that you can sit in, and it does all different kinds of things to your senses. I won't try and give it away here, but you're wearing 3D glasses, but then it also does a bunch of other things as far as like your seat moving and things like that. So that's very cool. Another thing, if you're a history fan, that's recently opened up in the last couple years is Lincoln's Cottage. When Lincoln was president, he spent a lot of his time in the summer away from the White House, and his family actually stayed in a place that they called the Lincoln Cottage, or they also call it the Summer White House. He spent about a fourth of his presidency at the Lincoln Cottage, and they recently renovated it, and it's now open for tours. They've got a little visitor center there, and if you're a big fan of Lincoln, and you know this is 2009 with the whole celebration of Lincoln's birthday and stuff, this might be a neat time to go see that. I'll have links to all these on the blog so you can check them out. But that's something that I saw when they were still renovating it two summers ago. And one of these next couple of visits that I want to go to Washington, I definitely want to check it out. Also, recently being renovated is Ford's Theater. And you got to kind of check the date a little bit. But I know that the last time I was there, they said they were looking at either June or July of 2009 for opening the museum next to Ford's Theater. Now, Ford's Theater itself is open, and they've done an amazing job of adding a lot of different plays. So if you want to go see a play about the Civil War, or they have a couple different choices there, it's a really neat experience to sit in Ford's Theater and watch a theatrical performance. I did that with my students back in the late 90s, and it was a very memorable event. So definitely check out the schedule for Ford's Theater. Check out and see if they've opened the museum next to Ford's Theater. If you've been to Ford's Theater in the past, they had a lot of different artifacts in the basement. They've now built a museum that's right next to Ford's Theater, and they're putting those all in this brand new museum. It's supposed to be amazing. When I was there just a couple weeks ago or a month ago, it wasn't open yet. And again, they're saying kind of like June or July. So definitely check that out, but that would be well worth it. And then they have another thing that would be really cool, and that's that they have some walking tours around the neighborhood of Ford's Theater. So if you wanted to see the different places where, you know, Booth planned the assassination and where the getaway happened and stuff like that, they do have some neat walking tours. So check out the Ford's Theater website. They've got a lot of new stuff up there. They've been doing a lot of stuff on Twitter and blogs and podcasting. So they've got some really neat stuff. So that's something that's going to be a little bit different this summer as well. Now, if you do have some time to go a little bit beyond Washington, D.C., one place I'd recommend is Alexandria, Virginia, which is just south of D.C., and you can take the metro right out there and just get off the metro and walk into Alexandria. But basically, it's like an old colonial town. They've got some old taverns there. There's a tavern called the Gadsby's Tavern that's a museum and then also a working restaurant, and you can be served like authentic colonial foods there. I went there a couple years ago on Washington's birthday and had basically kind of like what was Washington's favorite meal. So if you kind of like eating that authentic type food, that would be a definite favorite for you. And then also they've got a neat thing in Alexandria called the Ghost Tour. And my wife and I did this. It's a little bit kind of like tongue-in-cheek-ish a little bit, kind of mixed in along with historical stuff. So you take this walking tour by candlelight, and the narrator walks you around old Alexandria, Virginia, and talks about different places that are both historical and then some that also have a little bit of a ghost story that goes along with them. But you see a lot of places that have to do with like where they had George Washington's funeral, different places that have meaning to both the Civil War and the American Revolution. So I would definitely recommend that. It's kind of fun and, you know, again, kind of like a little bit tongue-in-cheek, kind of hokey, funny, historical, but we had a really good time doing that. So if you have a little bit of time, I would go down to Alexandria and then also Mount Vernon. Now, I would allot probably about a half a day if you want to go to Mount Vernon. It's not something you're going to be able to go down and do in like 2 hours and come back into the city. And since I was there 2 years ago, they've done a new visitor center, which is supposed to be really nice. But I would strongly urge you to go down to Mount Vernon if you have time. My wife and I spent a full day down there, and there's so much to see on the grounds. You can see the house. You can see of course, the visitor center I just mentioned. He has an old historic round barn that George Washington created and designed himself. There's a little farming area down by the docks that you can go to. And so we spent an entire day there. And when I went to Washington, D.C., and I went down to Mount Vernon, it really changed the way that I view Abraham Lincoln. And it's not that, George Washington. And it's not that I, didn't respect George Washington before, but after I went to Mount Vernon, I found myself reading tons of books about George Washington. And I've talked to quite a few history teachers that have said the same thing, that when they went to Mount Vernon, they kind of felt a closeness to Washington that they hadn't felt before. And then that kind of sparked an interest to learn more about him. And I would definitely say that's true for myself and my wife. So if you've got an extra day and you love history and you like the colonial time period, I would definitely make the trip down to Mount Vernon. What my wife and I did was take the metro, and then we took a bus from the metro stop down to Mount Vernon. Or if you've got a car, you're renting a car or something, you could go down with a car also. But it is possible to just take the metro to a certain point and then take the bus and then go down to Mount Vernon. And it was very economical and quite a few abilities as far as like scheduling and stuff if you want to be a little bit flexible in doing that as well. The other, favorites, of course, and I've even mentioned things like Arlington Cemetery, the White House, the Capitol. I would say that what my wife and I have found out is that when you're in D.C., there's so much to do. And of course, this is a history podcast, so a lot of people listening are probably big history fans. There's so much to do that you almost feel overwhelmed. And I would just caution to kind of pick out a couple things that you really want to see and then see those. And don't worry about trying to see everything, because you'll completely go crazy if you try and get in, five or six major things in a day and stuff like that. So, just kind of read some of the guidebooks ahead of time and kind of get a feel for the city and where you're staying at and what you have as far as time allotments. And then definitely just pick a couple things and really enjoy the couple things instead of going crazy trying to get to every single thing, because that'll ruin your experience if you try and do too much at one time. So if you are going to NEC, I hope you have a great time. I can't wait to follow what you guys are doing online. If you're listening and you have any other tips, whether it's for NEC or whether it's for any time down the road, because people will be listening to this podcast after NEC is over as well, if you have any suggestions on what you like to do when you're in D.C., definitely leave a comment on the blog. And again, the blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, and you can also email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com, but in this case I'd really like you to leave a comment so we can have it up on the blog and then other people can benefit from hearing about your suggestion. So have a great time in Washington, and let us know how it goes, and if you have a tip, definitely add a tip to the blog. So thanks for listening, and until next time, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll see you again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.soundzabound.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Bye.